Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Austin. Hi, Austin!
Let us pray my microphone is working today, because it wasn't last time.
Oh, no. It wasn't me that last time, so
I know you're
I'm happy about that.
All right. We're getting a late start here, so let's not mess around for too long. Alex, how are you? What are you doing?
I'm good. It's been a weird weekend. I don't know. It's just gone by really fast.
Do you want to share your news?
Oh, right. Okay. Maybe that is what's contributing to the weirdness.
I think so.
I don't know. I've been looking for a new place to live, and anybody who's followed this podcast for a long time might be like, oh my god, again?
Yeah, we move around a lot.
Well, you gotta, you know, do what's best for you, and sometimes it's just not sustainable. You gotta find a different place. But my boyfriend and I were looking around. We went to go see a townhouse this weekend that we really loved, and we put in an application for one. So that's been a equal parts, like, a load off of our shoulders, but also, like, really nerve-wracking. That was a big thing that happened.
Well, you forgot the most important thing we did.
We watched a movie.
No, we got Kirby sushi.
Oh, right. I was going to get to the Kirby sushi. Yeah, so we also had a really fun-filled weekend. We watched a movie, Bugonia? I don't know. That one with Emma Stone. And then we got the revolving sushi, like Austin said. I'd never been, and it was so exciting.
It's fun. Although I'm mad. We didn't get our Kirby prize.
I know. It was so upsetting.
We were supposed to get, like, a keychain or something, but it didn't work for some reason.
So the whole draw, like, part of the game is, like, and it's super cool. Like, if you guys out there have ever gone to revolving sushi, and it's similar to the one we went to, you might know what we're talking about. But if you haven't, the premise is there's a conveyor belt that goes around the entire restaurant. There's, like, little sampler size things of each dish. And if you want that dish, as it comes by your table, you just press the button, the little dome opens up, and it pops your plate out, and you grab the food. It's so fun. You're supposed to win a prize. Like a, well, how would you call it? Like a little ball dispenser thing?
Yeah, like a little nothing bullshit thing.
Yeah, but if you eat 15 plates, because that's how they charge you, by the way, is per plate. So you put your plate into this little slot, and it counts it. And when you get to 15, you're supposed to win a little prize. And we got to 20, and we did not win a prize.
Nope.
Just another disclaimer. If you go to Revolving Sushi, you need to be careful and moderate yourselves, because you could end up eating way more than you think you're going to eat.
The funny thing was, it was literally a Kirby-themed tie-in. Like, everything was Kirby-themed. Like, little Kirby plates and Kirby signage. And we were supposed to win a Kirby prize, but we didn't get any Kirby prize. I did get the Kirby sushi. I didn't like it very much.
Oh, I'm of the opposite opinion. I wouldn't say it was the best thing I had eaten all day there, but I liked it.
The Kirby sushi?
It had pink mayonnaise on it. That was fun.
Yeah. One time I went to a revolving sushi place where the plates were color-coded, where different dishes were different prices. And so it was like, red is $5, green is $10 or whatever. So you had to be, like, really careful, and you could kind of count how much you were paying as you stacked up dishes.
Okay, so that's interesting. This one I liked because every dish was primarily the same price. Like, every single thing was about $4 a plate, I think. Except for some of the specialty items, but you had to special order those. So not only is there the revolving conveyor belt with the predetermined food on it, but if you wanted something special, they have like a tablet that they have above your table that you can make custom orders on it.
Anything else we want to talk about?
No, that was really it.
You got any feedback for us?
Let me see. I don't think so.
Because I do.
Okay, well, yeah, go ahead and share feedback for this week, Austin. I'm going to see if there's anything on our side, but I don't believe that there is this week. But go ahead.
Pokemon Megastar has a trainer's choice question for us, Alex. Oh. And I already know the answer because I already read the comment, but I guess it's for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Oh, boy. Trainers, which Pokemon is the best choice to battle a Shedinja that's Terra-typed electric with an air balloon?
Whoa, please. Okay, all right. Hold on. Hold on now there, cowboy. Okay, Shedinja is a bug ghost type.
But it's a Terra type electric. Okay,
wait. I'm going to get a pen. Hold on.
Oh, Christ almighty.
I'm going to write this down. No, this deserves thought, okay?
Okay.
Here I go. I got my pen. All right, so we got Shedinja. Got it. Okay. Terra type, what is it? Flying?
Electric.
Electric.
But it has an air balloon.
Okay. Electric Terra type. Okay. Item. Air balloon. Okay. Now, forgive me because I'm not a competitive person and I don't really know what all these items do. So I'm going to look it up.
I'm pretty sure it makes you immune to ground type moves.
Let's find out. Okay. It's an item, when attached to a Pokemon, causes it to be immune from ground types and entry hazards.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Like Stealth Rock. Okay.
Sure.
All right, here are the options. Tyranitar, Abomasnow, and Pelipper.
Oh, God. Okay. We have basically an electric-type Pokemon that's immune to ground types, right? Mm-hmm. So we have Tyranitar, Abomasnow, and Pelipper. Okay. Tyranitar is what? Dark ground?
Dark rock.
Dark rock. Dark rock? Really?
I don't know why I'm helping you.
Okay, well, it's fine, because otherwise I'd just be looking it up anyway. Dark rock. I know this is taking way longer than like we would have for like a trainer's choice, but I'm being extra like that. Abomasnow is ice grass.
Mm-hmm.
Pelipper is water flying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, okay, rock doesn't do anything to electric. That's always been my thing that I've struggled with. Electric resists grass, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got water flying, but then Pelipper would be four times weak to electric.
I will say you're forgetting an important detail in all this.
Oh my God, what is it? Oh my God.
I can't tell you.
Important detail? I am just that much of a bad trainer. Can I have a hint?
Why Shedinja?
Oh, does it have, like, an ability that I'm forgetting about?
We've discussed this before, actually.
Oh, no, what is it? Oh, no, I forget. Oh, I'm cheating. Cheat that way, SpongeBob. Wonder Guard. Okay, only super effective. Okay, so then it's Pelipper, right?
Why would it be Pelipper?
No, I'm wrong. Hold on. Super effective. What would be super effective against electric? Nothing. I'm confused. Oh my God, I can't. I can't do it. I'm so bad.
You gotta make a choice.
Oh no. But what's super effective? It's electric. So, you know what? I don't know. I'm gonna go
with make a choice.
Abomasnow because it's my favorite out of these three.
It's not Abomasnow.
Of course not.
Snow warning in Generation 9 makes it snow and not hail. Therefore, Abomasnow cannot hurt Shedinja.
I'll take your word.
Pelipper makes it rain. And it can't hurt Shedinja.
Well, what about Sandstorm? Doesn't Tyranitar get Sandstorm?
Tyranitar's ability is Sandstream, which would hurt the Shedinja. Therefore, if you chose Tyranitar, you were correct.
Okay, wait. Okay, so you're saying Snow Warning and, like, making it hail wouldn't do anything. Pelipper making it rain wouldn't do anything. Well, obviously, because that's not a damaging thing.
So the thing with Abomasnow is Snow Warning ability used to make it hail. But starting from Generation 9, it starts to snow instead, which just boosts Ice-type moves. It doesn't cause damage.
Oh, really? Okay, that changed. Apparently. I'm an old school. Great. Well, that's a really awesome trainer's choice question. Thanks for coming up with that and posing it.
Well, here's the MVPs and LVPs. For the Gulpin episode, MVP is the Mach 3 Particle Cannon for using what seems to be Pokeball technology to shrink the Gulpin down.
Pokeball mechanics, woo!
LVP is Nurse Joy for not trying to get rid of the Gulpin hordes in a humane way.
Yeah.
For the Explode episode, MVP is the animation, because Pogo Megastar really liked it. Remember the thick lines?
Yeah, that was really interesting.
LVP is the corks for plugging up Explode's holes.
Ew!
Oh, and here's one thing Megastar points out. The Pokemon TV YouTube channel is almost caught up to us. The most recent episode they have posted as of right now is the Flannery episodes.
Oh, okay. They're about to lap us. Here we go.
Yep. So by the time this episode comes out, this podcast episode, you'll probably be able to view these episodes on YouTube.
Excellent. I feel like everybody should watch along. I mean, I know it's probably fun sometimes to listen to us out of context and be like, what in the heck are they talking about? But I would encourage everybody to watch along.
Especially this week.
Oh my God.
These are good episodes.
These are great episodes. If you guys aren't watching these or haven't done already, please do. If you're going to watch any, these are the ones to do.
I think the first one was good and the second one is an all-timer.
Yeah, top tier for sure. So, for this week, we have a double dilemma, I think.
Dilemma? It's not dilemma?
I'm trying to be posh. And then...
Victoria Beckham over here.
We have a love, Petalburg style, as the second one.
This is the one that you have been looking forward to this entire time. This is the one that we've had the episode title decided from the very beginning.
Yes!
You remember the episode title, right?
Oh my God. Yeah, that one. Should we even go with that one?
I think we should.
Okay.
This ain't Batman. We're allowed to go down on women here.
Oh, speaking of Batman, oh my gosh. I didn't mention that I binge watched all of Creature Commandos.
I didn't like Creature Commandos.
I know, you said that. Have you guys out there watched Creature Commandos? I thought it was okay, and I'm not even a DC fan. All I could think of watching it was Gilmore Girls.
How on earth did you get... But how? How?
Because it was written by James Gunn. His brother, Sean Gunn, is a couple of the voices of the characters. I don't know. Sean Gunn is in Gilmore Girls.
Did you know that Sean Gunn plays Maxwell Lord in the new DC movies?
I don't even know who that is.
He's a Nick Fury character.
I digress. So, are we ready to...
Let's digress to North Petalburg.
Okay. Oh, God. What a hellish place North Petalburg is.
I'm going to flip the Norman coin real quick.
Oh, my God. The Norman coin.
You are doing a 30-second summary / flash challenge.
I think I'm ready. I'm not really, but okay.
3, 2, 1. Norman.
We're in North Petalburg, which is not Petalburg at all. And we have been mobbed by the local insane townsfolk who are so excited to see Max and May because they're idols, I guess, in this town. We basically spend the whole episode fawning over May and Max and basically forcing May to perform for the crowd. Meanwhile, Ash has been hogtied and, you know, thrown into this field, forced to battle all these children in succession. And he proves that he's a loser because May beats him in a battle.
Time.
Ah!
So here we are in North Petalburg because, as we speculated before, the geography of the Pokemon world manifests new places to go as we approach our destinations.
It basically renders in.
Yeah, North Petalburg has sprung into existence overnight.
It has a very small draw distance, and so when you walk close enough, it just pops up.
The gimmick of North Petalburg, it may as well be called Normantown, and they may as well be doing the annual Norman Festival today.
Won't you take me to Normantown? Won't you take me to Normantown?
Well, you know something's a bit off when we get to the Pokemon Center, and a Nurse Joy, who isn't having sex with Norman, but I'm sure would love to. She recognizes May and Max. And so it's like, that's a little weird. But a woman who is delivering vegetables to the Pokemon Center sees May and Max and says, oh my god, it's May and Max. So she runs out of the building and starts screaming down the streets, May and Max are here! At the top of her lungs.
Do you think this is what it's like to be a famous person?
I wouldn't know what it's like to be a famous person.
Like, with the paps all over, constantly, like, hiding in the bushes, taking pictures of you.
A nightmare. I couldn't even imagine.
I wonder.
So they leave the Pokemon Center, and Ash is remarking how cool it is that people recognize May and Max, because her dad is so famous. At which point, a crowd of about 50 people run up and surround them.
Not terrifying at all.
And one of them is the news reporter for the North Petalburg News.
What was his name? Don something?
That's interesting.
Oh.
His name is D. Dunstan.
Oh, I was totally wrong.
Well, D. Dunstan, I'm going to assume, stands for Darren Dunstan. Darren Dunstan, you may know for his turn on the stage playing the role of Giovanni in Pokemon Live.
Wait, I'm sorry. What?
Yes.
What? What? Like, okay, I'm sorry. They named this character after a real person.
Well, I know Darren Dunstan continued to voice various roles at 4Kids.
I'm shocked.
He is, for example, the voice of Grovyle.
That is bonkers.
He's also the voice of Mr. Tsukizo.
Remarkable.
Yeah, so I'm going to guess they threw that in as a gag.
That's hilarious.
I'm assuming he's voicing D. Dunstan, right? Like, obviously.
He has to be. That's crazy. He's our beloved Pokemon Live iteration of Giovanni. I'm in awe.
Well, the crowd wants to see May's accomplishments. So she says she has 2 contest ribbons. And they're kind of like, on that at first. But I'm like, y'all, she has 2 contest ribbons from 3 contests. That's like the most impressive thing I've ever heard in my life.
And she just started.
Yeah, so eventually they convince themselves that is impressive. And then braggadocious Ash has to jump in there and be like, look at me, I have 4 gym badges. And they literally grab him and throw him away.
They crowd surf him out of the crowd and they're like, get out of here.
Get the hell out of here.
Nobody cares about Ash and his badges.
Truly, no one does. This is not your moment, Ash.
Okay, I have a question though. Wouldn't you say arguably that Ash at this point is more famous than Norman?
Not in North Petalburg.
North Petalburg is a backwater kind of place.
I'm going to get into the continuity of all this later, but I'm pressing X for doubt on all this. Meanwhile, Norman really is huge in North Petalburg because Team Rocket are walking down the street and they see a giant poster of Norman and Caroline on a building for no reason whatsoever.
I think the hero worship is out of control.
And they turn around and see all the people of North Petalburg are wearing Norman merchandise of various buttons and balloons and socks and underwear with Norman's face plastered all over it.
So no Caroline merchandise?
There was a couple things that she made an appearance on with her husband, but it wasn't Caroline specific. And there are Norman merchandise vendors everywhere selling the shit.
Does he know about this?
That's what May questions at the end of the episode.
Okay, you know what? Actually, I think I answered my own question. Considering what we see of Norman and how dense he is and how unsuspecting of everything he is in the next episode, I really highly doubt that he knows about this.
This is the weirdest shit we've ever seen. We have never seen a gym leader be worshipped by a population like this, ever.
Yeah, that's true. I can't. There is no other person that has ever even been close to that level of admiration.
Like, normally, if Pokemon trainers have a fan club, it's because of some other pursuit they have. Like, they're a model or an actor or something.
So, of all the gym leaders that we've seen thus far, who would you say, aside from Norman, is the most popular?
Brawly.
Yeah, I mean, we had Brawly.
He had his surfer groupies.
Yeah, but not merchandise.
Anyone else? No, not really.
No, not really. I can't think of anybody.
So yeah, something's off. Somehow Norman mania has really taken hold of this area. I don't even know where to begin speculating on that. It's just weird. It's just, we're in a weird area.
I could say something kind of controversial.
Say it.
So I was just going to make the completely innocuous comment, nothing to do with anything, that, you know, sometimes it's really a wonder how somebody that isn't deserving of praise or attention amasses a maniacal cult following.
We are not comparing Norman to the MAGA people. We're not doing that.
I wouldn't say anything.
I think Norman is more of a sex icon, to be honest.
Ew, with his sideburns and his tucked in pants. Know. Ew, please.
It's like a 70s style. You know, I think that's what it has to be what it is, right?
His outfit is atrocious. His hair is atrocious. His
Yeah, I know. Bangs. I agree. But oh, what God. Other reason would everyone be freaking out about this, like, random 30-something-year-old man?
Does he have, like, a past in male modeling or something?
I don't know. There's no reason for this to be a thing. For there to be random posters of him everywhere.
I know. He's not even, like... I mean, he's a good and accomplished gym leader, I would say, but he's honestly a little weird. I mean, he's really strict with his kids, and, like, he won't let them watch gym battles, and... Surely he's lost a few times. I mean, I don't think he's all that.
Norman is so boring, we had to make up something to make him more exciting.
I know. He's Norman. He's normal. He's a
normal,
just a normal man.
I'm normal.
Hi, how are you? Wonderful weather we're having.
Anyway, Team Rocket has this hilarious idea that they are going to be the Norman clan.
Ugh.
James is Norman. Jesse is Caroline. Meowth is May, which he'll later regret. And Max is Wobba Fett. Classic. They look so good.
I would say that James and Jesse are pretty spot on, but Meowth and Wobba Fett dressing up as May and Max was nightmare fuel.
That's why it's so good.
And you want to comment on the fact that these people seem to have an issue telling the difference?
Well, it's Team Rocket. They're masters of disguise.
Oh, I forgot about their magic spell that they can, like, cast on people when they're disguised.
Put a pair of glasses on a Wobba Fett, that's a Max.
Okay. I was going to chalk it up to, like, lead in the water, but...
I mean, that might explain some things,
actually. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, here we get the big, burly man who walks up to Team Rocket, and he says he's been the next-door neighbor for Norman and his family for most of his adult life. What?
You don't even live in the same town. What?
Is he suffering from delusions? I think he might be, because he walks up, looks May and Meowth, or sorry, looks Max and Meowth. God damn it! Now I'm getting confused.
Let's start over from the beginning.
He looks at May Meowth and Max Wobba Fett in the faces and announces to the crowd, yes, he knows these children very well, and these are indeed Norman and his family. They have come here to bless us with their presence and sign autographs.
Okay, so I don't mean to call anybody out specifically, and I don't know details on this at all. I just know a very, very tiny, limited amount from scrolling through Reddit and just happening upon people talking about this stuff. Have you ever heard about that one person that's, like, obsessed with Timothy Chalamet?
Club Chalamet.
Yes!
I don't know the details, but I know they were featured in, like, some sort of article recently, and apparently they have quite the reputation.
I don't know anything about this person. I thought it was a group, but apparently no, it is not a group. It's a singular person, a woman, I guess, and she runs this, like, rabid Timothy Chalamet-obsessed account or something. It just reminds me of that, like, this person that's created, like, a completely false narrative in their head about... this celebrity, well, in this guy's case, he thinks Norman's a celebrity, I guess. But he's, like, making up a story in his head that he, like, lived next to Norman and his family and has this whole delusion built around this. I don't know. It just reminded me of that.
The backstory of Norman and his gym leader status is very contradictory. Because if we were to take this man at his word, Norman lived next to this man... for most of his adult life, or rather, this man lived next to Norman for most of his adult life, even though this man looks to be older than Norman and Caroline. Maybe he grew up next to Norman when Norman was a child?
Is Norman from Kanto?
I don't know where he's from.
Well, we know, like, from is it from the game where they say that they just moved in to town?
Oh, I think they moved from Johto. I could be wrong.
It was a Johto.
Because you're going from gold and silver to ruby and sapphire.
Okay, so it's they moved from a different region to Hoenn, Little Root Town.
Sorry, my Roomba.
Wow.
Oh, crying for attention.
So, did this man live in the same town, like you said, as Norman when he was a child, and then followed to Hoenn, and then just moved to North Petalburg while Norman was in Petalburg City? Because that would be weird.
I don't know. The crazy thing is, we were told specifically Norman was the new gym leader, but ever since then, I seem to have forgotten that, because Norman has been a gym leader for years and years.
Okay.
But in the few weeks that May and Max have been on this journey, Norman has exploded in popularity to, like, enormous heights. It's very strange.
I'm telling you, there's some kind of chemical contaminant or something in the water supply.
I also think this man is a liar.
Yeah, he might just be doing it for attention.
But he announces that this is indeed May and Max, and they are here to sell Norman merchandise. Hooray.
Okay.
The rest of this episode's pretty all over the place. Like, it cuts back and forth between so many different storylines. The real May is still being hounded by her crowd, and they say, show us a contest move. And so she complies, and she shows the amazing, beautiful eyes Silverwind, and they're amazed. Of course, they're amazed by Skitty's juggling skills.
Oh my god. When that made a reappearance, I had to, like, look away. I was like, I can't do this.
Ash, meanwhile, is kind of sulking in the corner, until these random boys come up and say, who the fuck do you think you are? Walking around with May and Max all the time. Fuck you. So Ash has to battle them, especially when they find out he's going to challenge Norman. Oh my god. We have to defend him.
Oh no.
Defend Norman from this evil boy, Ash.
This is the worst part of a fandom. The gatekeepers.
The gatekeepers are here.
Oh.
And guess what? They are multiplying. Because Ash kicks their asses, and then about 12 more appear from out of nowhere. They're going to battle him too.
They're like a hydra. You just cut one head off and then there's two more.
So eventually they like have like a huge like assault on Ash. They like come at him from all sides.
This is hilarious.
Oh my god. And Ash's fragile male ego refuses to lose. So he just has Pikachu electrocute all of them all at the same time. But then even more fly down from wherever the fuck they're hiding.
This was fantastic. I felt so bad for Ash. For the like the one time I feel bad for him. This is it.
Back at May and Max, May is all in on this at this point. She has let fame get to her head. She is Queen May of North Petalburg. Or rather, I guess she's the princess. And the random boys that Ash has beaten up run up to Dee Dunstan and the vegetable lady, and they tell them that, oh my god, there's an evil boy come to town, and he is declaring that he will murder Norman. So we need to get Princess May in there to defend Norman, because she's our hero.
The way these people were talking, battling him must be akin to murdering him, because they won't stand for it.
They put May and Max on a parade float and carry them through the town to take them to Ash.
What do you call those? Was it a float or was it like a palanquin or something?
It was like a palanquin type deal. I forget what they're called. Those things where you carry people.
Yeah, like those really horrific, you know, degrading things where you have to carry some person undeserving of a title that they have around.
Regardless, the town, seemingly hundreds of people. There were so many little blob people. It was like dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of people have gathered, and they bring May to destroy Ash. And Ash is so high on his own supply of beating up little boys that he's like, yeah, I'll fight May. And May's like, I'm the queen of the land. I will battle Ash. Because they're both insane.
They are insane. And I have to ask, what was going on with the weird chibi May? Like, they kept doing that.
When May got into her mania, she became a chibi version of herself many times throughout the episode. It was funny.
Is this, like, kind of poking fun at, like, anime and, like, fandoms, or...
I don't know. I think it's a visual signifier that May has lost her mind.
That's true. It's kind of like, it reminds me of Naruto with Sakura and her inner voice, where she becomes, like, a, I guess, like, a chibi version of herself in her mind.
One day I'll watch Naruto, but that day is not today.
Have you never seen, like, any of the early episodes?
I've seen bits and pieces.
I've tried to watch them over and over throughout the years, but I only ever really get up to... I don't even remember the sequence of events, but definitely before Shippuden. Like, I never get farther than that.
Do you get to the whole Sasuke thing?
I think I got there once. I know... Was that before or after he trains with, like, Jiraiya and them?
Girl, I have no idea.
A girl? I don't know either. Okay, never mind.
Trainers! All right, trainers.
Oh, no.
If a Shedinja has a Terra-type of electric... No, just kidding. Which one of these Pokemon is the best choice to battle Corphish? Minun, Marowak, or Nincada?
Oh my god, Nincada. What a coincidence. That trainer's choice really did defeat me. That was too good of a question. I'm going to say Minun.
Okay, trainers. If you chose Minun, you were right.
Oh, wow. Phew. What a relief.
Yeah, I think that's right. Anyway.
You think it's right.
I don't believe that the sky is blue and that...
Don't do me like that, Austin. I'm confused enough already. The earth is round
anymore. These trainer choices really fuck you up.
I know. I've lost all grasp of reality. I don't know anymore about anything. I thought I did, but I don't.
Meanwhile, back at the Team Rocket crowd, somehow Norman, Caroline, May, and Max, who are actually Team Rocket, have vanished into the shadows because they're masters of the escape, I guess. And the whole crowd is like, where did they go? And they are running down the street with bags of money, I assume. But then the scary neighbor man who has lived next to Norman and his family for most of his adult life corners them. And Team Rocket's surrounded by the throngs of lunatics. Back at the Twerps, it is Ash versus May and Taillow versus Torchic. And y'all, guess what? Torchic fucking wins.
Okay, but there's a big caveat to this battle.
What's the caveat?
Okay, first of all, I mean, you know this. Ash was exhausted. All his other Pokemon had been knocked out. So all he had was Taillow, which Taillow's a good battler. I'm not going to say anything about that. I mean, I feel like he should have won anyway because Taillow wasn't tired and it's that good. But I think Ash himself was tired because Brock made that comment like, Ash, you're more exhausted than your Pokemon or whatever he said. So I don't think May would have won in any universe where Ash was, like, his normal self.
Ash was no longer on this earth. He was in La La Land.
And it's so sad, too, because May wouldn't have used Torchic at all if it wasn't for the fact that Beautifly and Skitty were exhausted from doing their contest appeals over and over to these people. So it was a fluke.
It was a fluke, but you know what? Torchic got some experience points, and that's all that really matters.
Does it matter because of the eventuality that I'm assuming will happen?
Yeah.
Thank God.
Not for... It's going to be a while. Don't hold your breath.
I won't.
At this point, a random man arrives on the scene, and he tells the vegetable lady that there are multiple Mays and Maxes running around the town.
Whoa! Isn't this their dream, to have multiple of them?
Oh my God. Well, instead, because the people of North Battleburg are very suggestible... They have immediately devolved into tribalism.
Oh.
And the people who have been with the real May and Max are convinced that their May and Max is the real one. And the people who have been with Team Rocket are convinced that they are the real ones, of course. So the crowd, which has at this point reached tens of thousands of people.
Oh, tens of thousands.
Forces the Twerps and Team Rocket into the same place at the same time.
You know... If these people were truly fans of the Norman family, they would absolutely know that the Team Rocket disguises were fake. Like, you can't call yourself a fan if you can't even recognize them.
Are you telling me that people who are in toxic fandoms don't see the things that they're fans of for what they truly are?
Oh, that is, you know what? I don't know what I'm talking about. I was going to say, would you ever notice a celebrity in real life if they just, like, walked by you? You probably wouldn't.
I mean, I'd have to be in the right mindset to recognize a celebrity. Otherwise, I'd probably just be like, that's a beautiful person and, like, not think about it.
Oh, but I think, oh, you know what? You're totally right. Forget what I said. They obviously are objectifying them and not seeing them for themselves. They're just like, oh, the glitz and glamour and allure of celebrityness.
I mean, look at Meowth in that May outfit. The glitz and allure of the celebrityness is overwhelming.
I know. You really can't get any better than that.
So hilariously, guess what? May and Max don't recognize Jesse and James as Jesse and James. They recognize them as their own parents. Like, Dad, what are you doing here?
To be fair, that's a testament to their costuming abilities. They look so real.
They do, however, recognize that the fake May and Max are not the actual May and Max.
If they couldn't figure that out, I would be very worried for them.
They don't quite recognize them as Meowth and Wobbuffet, though, so, Team Rocket's master of disguise. But May is still riding her high horse of, I'm a celebrity, and she has Torchic incinerate Team Rocket to smithereens. So they get exposed as who they really are. And we get a Ash versus Team Rocket battle. In the chaos, the Viper hazes the crowd, and they grab Torchic when they mean to grab Pikachu. But that's okay, because Pikachu scales a tree, and he jumps up, and he beats the shit out of them with a quick attack, rescues Torchic. He rescues the bags of money.
Yeah, what?
I don't think those people deserve to keep that money that they gave them for autographs. I think you got had, and that's just what it is.
Yeah, they could have turned this into a lesson of, like, don't just give your money away to any rando who claims to be this, that, or the other. And honestly, do you think that Jesse, James, and Meowth and Wobbuffet, like, would they have gotten away with the money if they had just immediately ditched the Caroline and Norman outfit? Like, I feel like they would have been able to get away with it.
Oh, when they were running away?
Yeah, like, before the guy noticed them and was like, oh my god, there they go. He only noticed them because they were dressed up.
Oh, did we notice a little detail that the scary alleged neighbor and the vegetable lady worked at the same store, the same grocery store?
I kind of had a feeling that they were, like, partners, like a couple, yeah.
See, but if they were a couple, wouldn't vegetable lady also say that she lived next to Norman her entire adult life?
Maybe she's just a little more grounded than he is. I don't know.
I don't know.
But maybe that furthers the lie. Like, that's another clue that he's a liar.
Anyway, ugh. Team Rocket gets blasted off, and they actually have them go all the way into, like, the outer reaches of space. Like, they're, like, in another galaxy by the time they're done.
Poor Jesse. Poor James.
But they seem happy about it. The crowd still thinks that Ash is Satan incarnate, but they love his Pikachu. And the twerps finally leave this place. And this is when May says, I wonder if Dad knows about this. And our nightmare has been completed. But that was a fun episode.
That was fun.
The fact that we didn't have any snarky commentary to make because the episode itself is already snarky, I think says it all.
Yeah, we really couldn't add anything to that. It pretty much is a self-contained thing.
It had a season one vibe to it.
It did. And it's a great intro into what we get now going into this next episode, but...
Ooh, boy. All right, we gotta flip the Norman coin first.
Onto the floor.
I'm going first.
Okay.
God, there was no winners this episode.
Capitalism, because Team Rocket in there selling counterfeit.
Can I give it just Team Rocket as a group?
MVP?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not? They were fun. They were cute.
Sure. Fair enough.
My LVP will be Talo for losing to Torchic.
Yeah, not a great showing.
Okay, I'm going to quote the scary neighbor guy.
No, the best quote.
Oh, you want that one? Okay, I'll take the other one then.
Oh, no, wait, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, I have another one. You choose. It's up to you.
I'm going to go with May, and this is because of Veronica Taylor's delivery. She really got into it. When she's fighting Ash, she says, this is so much fun! I'm winning! And it, like, cuts away.
I guess you were right when you said that before, that she really let that inflate her ego and go to her head, because I don't think we've ever seen May that excited to win a battle. She really normally doesn't care about that.
I mean, she was beating Ash.
Yeah, but on a technicality.
Okay.
Eh. Great.
All right, what's your quote?
Thanks for letting me have the one. If it's the one I'm thinking of, okay.
It has to be. Yeah, it has to be.
The Norman Superfan man.
Mm-hmm.
He says, okay, so this is when they're selling, Team Rocket's selling all the counterfeit, like, autographs and badges and tchotchke stuff or whatever. He says, if I buy enough, I can wallpaper my Norman memorial room with them.
Terrifying.
Okay, for a lot of reasons, but also... memorial indicates that the person has passed on.
He's going to take Norman, cut off his head, and make a shrine to it. Like Helga from Hey Arnold.
He's got like an effigy head like in the closet. Yeah. Ah! This is so scary. This is like serial killer behavior.
Yes, it is.
His Norman memorial room. Oh my god.
God, he dresses like Norman.
Wait, does he really?
A Norman blow-up doll.
Oh god. I was trying to remember what he looked like, but he just looks like a normal dude.
He had a little mustache whisker thing going on.
He had the John Waters mustache.
Yeah, a little bit.
That was awful. Okay, my MVP. You know what? I'm going to give it to Ash.
Oh.
Just because I'm proud of him for taking on all those gatekeeping bully kids.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah, and he stood up to like dozens of them and won. I think this probably was his like best showing consecutively for like all the battles he did. And he took them all out, so good for him. My LVP are going to be the gatekeeping children that I despise. Specifically, like, Thing 1 and Thing 2, like, the first two kids that ran up on him. They were the worst.
North Petalburg is a cursed place.
Where's the police? Can somebody call the police on these people?
Oh, Officer Jenny is wearing her, like, Norman beach towel on her naked body right now as we speak.
Her Norman thong and her...
and her Norman shrine.
Gross.
She wants to arrest Norman so she can keep him forever.
You know what? Should I change my LVP to the Norman man that's, like, horrific and, like, a serial killer?
He was probably the worst of all of them.
Okay, I'm going to change my... I'm going to do that. I'm going to change my answer to the stalker... serial killer lunatic man.
Norman super fan.
Super fan.
Club man. Norman.
Club Norman! Oh my god. Yeah. That guy. Ugh. Okay, that's it.
Now for the big one.
Drum roll, please. RIP headphones users. Okay. Are we ready? This is so exciting.
What is this episode called? Love Petalburg Style.
It's almost like one of those episodes that's too good for Pokemon.
I know. It went way further than I thought it was going to. I didn't remember the details.
I didn't either. I kind of thought they hinted around it a little bit more, but I forgot that they really basically said it all and laid it all out there. I thought that was crazy, but...
Let's do this.
You're going to flash challenge and give us the breakdown. Are you ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1, go.
The twerps arrive home to Petalburg City to find out that Norman's been laying pipe with Nurse Joy this entire time, and Caroline is leaving him. She packs up a suitcase and saying, "I'm leaving immediately." Norman's like, "Don't let the door hit you on the way out." And Max is like, "No, my father's not cheating on my mom." But Norman seems to be saying, "Yes, I am. I am cheating on your mom." Until, LOL, it was all a misunderstanding. Ha ha.
I'm sorry, normally I contain myself during the summaries, but I couldn't help it.
I can't even make a joke because the episode itself is so absurd. Let's do this.
Okay, I hope I can do this justice, you guys, because this is a great episode. Okay, so, buckle up, it's a ride. North Petalburg is in the rearview mirror. We have left that fever dream of a place, and now we are in actual Petalburg City. Thank God.
But they still have posters of Norman hanging up all over the place.
Not as many. But okay. Yes, there are still...
There's smaller posters.
There's still a weird tinge of, like, this idol worship thing for Norman in this
Norman
town.
Norman mania.
Norman mania, yeah. It's clearly catching because it's here in this city. It's like a virus. They arrive home. And this is, like, Norman and Caroline's, like, personal home, right? That they're at. Or is this the gym? I couldn't tell.
I think... It's like Brock's family has a house behind the gym.
Okay, so it's adjacent to the gym area.
Yeah.
And they arrive home where Broom Boy, Kenny, is here.
Yeah. Y'all know Kenny.
Was he ever a thing before?
Yeah, we've had lots of adventures with Kenny. Kenny and us go way back. We all recognize him, and he's been here since the very start. You don't remember Kenny?
Oh, duh. Kenny, of course.
Yeah, Kenny, a good friend.
Oh my god, how could I forget the very recognizable Kenny? Okay.
Kenny has definitely appeared before.
Definitely.
You're not just making him up right now.
Totally. Definitely. Wink. Okay, so Kenny and his...
Who the fuck is Kenny? Kenny, where the fuck do you come from?
I mean, it's a classic. Austin, you don't remember him and his broom from before?
Yeah, I remember the time that Kenny gathered the three treasures to stop Articuno, Zapdos, and Moltres when Lawrence III was pestering with them. I remember when Kenny's mom was stolen by the Dream Entei and he had to go into the Crystal Tower. I remember what else happened. What did Kenny do? What didn't Kenny do?
What didn't Kenny do? That'd be a shorter
Kenny was there for Operation Great Big Raikou. Kenny was there when Pikachu had magnet sickness. He saved Pikachu from it.
So maybe...
I remember when he was on the St. Anne that went to the bottom of the ocean.
Oh my God,
of course. He was the one who saved Bill from the Kabuto costume. God, Kenny does it all.
I bet you if we went back and watched all those episodes again, we would definitely see Kenny in the background of every single one of those episodes.
Oh my God, it's like Graggle Simpson.
Excuse me?
Do you know about this meme?
Graggle Simpson?
People created this like scary character named Graggle and put him into screenshots of old Simpsons episodes and acted as if he'd been there the entire time. Yeah, oh yeah, look at that.
He's horrifying. What the hell?
Yeah.
Excuse me. People, why is he naked?
I don't know.
Okay, was it you who was explaining to me something the other day about Star Wars? And like it was like a character who people refer to.
Oh, Glup Shitto.
Yeah. Wait, I think you went over this.
Believe character.
You went over this the last podcast episode, I think. I don't like this. Delete this.
Delete Graggle.
Delete Graggle. Oh, okay, God.
He's gone now. Okay, he can't hurt you.
Now I can proceed unimpeded by that. Okay.
But no, we've never met Kenny before, but we all know who he is.
The way they were acting really confused me, because I was like, oh, is this another, like, instance of my forgetfulness and not remembering this one-off character? But I'm glad to know that it wasn't just me. So we can stop gaslighting you, listeners. The Kenny has never appeared before. Okay, so Kenny is there with his broom. He's sweeping. Okay, great. And he tells them that there's currently a situation afoot involving Norman, their father. But before he can elaborate, Caroline appears to greet her children. May and Max, of course, are like, oh my gosh, Mom, it's so great to see you. Where's Dad? We'd love to see him too. And we get a taste of like, okay, something is a little weird because she becomes cagey about his whereabouts. And she's like, oh, I don't really want to like talk about your dad right now. Come inside for lunch. Meanwhile, Ash has kind of peeled off from this group with Brock, May, and Max, and he's at the Pokemon Center because he wants to rest up before his big gym battle that we've been talking about for ages. And he sees Norman and Joy in the middle of what appears to be quite the flirty and lighthearted exchange.
They were not being subtle.
They were not.
The way she was giggling and the way he was like leaning on the counter.
I know, he was like leaning forward with like his hand like resting his chin, and like they're both laughing and their body language is like totally indicating that they're flirting and up to no good. And then he kind of like leans back and he's got his hand on his hip and he's very like, ooh, yes.
Like, it doesn't make any sense if they're not having an affair.
Well, I guess thankfully for them, Ash is so dense, like he doesn't realize what's going on here, so.
Even he's able to be like, something's up.
Yeah, I guess maybe he's like, hello, what's going on here? And he questions them. He's like, hey, Norman, like, how's everything? And Norman's like, what? There's nothing weird or secretive going on. Not at all. Wink. Nurse Joy, wink. So that's strange. Wonder what that's all about.
Norman, what's this pink hair doing on your jacket? What's this about?
Oh my God, could you imagine? So, we are cutting over to Team Rocket now, and Meowth is plotting a redo of their first failed attempt at stealing Norman's Pokemon, which I don't recall the specifics of, but I'm assuming that happened at some point.
I remember there were a lot of pitfall traps. That's all I remember.
So, yeah, they're going to try to attempt to steal his Pokemon again. Back at home, May and Max are sitting down for lunch, and Max is super excited because he's like, oh my God, finally a home-cooked meal from Mom. He's been waiting for this. And he's like, oh, I wonder if Dad will be home for lunch. But Caroline becomes angry and continues to act very touchy about this. And she's like, not today. He's not coming home today.
He's eating lunch between Nurse Joy's thighs at the moment.
Whoa! May is excited to share that she, during her travels, has caught a beautifly. But this seems to enrage Caroline, and she cannot stand to hear the mention of beautifly. And Kenny, who is a child himself, by the way, I just want to mention this, seems to know all the intimate details of whatever it is that's going on. And this sends Kenny into a tailspin. He's like, oh my god, beautifly, damage control. Oh my god, we cannot say that here. That's a taboo word. No, let's talk about anything else.
Poor Kenny is in this house dealing with these cheating husbands. Scenarios for who knows how long.
Why does he have to carry the emotional burden of these, his employer's like affair? This is so weird. And why is Caroline like sharing this with him? Because presumably she's sharing her feelings about whatever is going on with Norman to Kenny.
Oh, I thought she was just snapping at him and Kenny was like, has eyes and ears and he was able to know what was going on.
Oh, really? Okay, so you think Kenny, like, kind of just pieced this whole, like, thing together, but she hasn't, like,
told him. Yeah, based on what he tells the twerps later.
Okay. Maybe I misunderstood the situation. So, Kenny is like, okay, that's enough of that. We need to leave now. So, he yanks all of the twerps, May, Max, Brock, out of the house and pulls them into the nearby greenhouse that Norman has. I guess that's where he keeps his gym Pokemon. And he attempts a few times to reveal what it is that he's observed is going on. But Max keeps interrupting him excitedly when he keeps spotting all his dad's Pokemon that are, like, roaming around.
It's funny because Max, May, and Brock are in a regular Pokemon episode where they see Pokemon and they remark upon them and they, like, you know, have this inane dialogue and they pull out the Pokedex and boring shit. Mm. Kenny, meanwhile, is in a fucking soap opera. And is like, stop, stop, listen to me, stop.
It's perfect the way it plays out because it's like he's racing against the clock in order to tell them before something else happens, which is like classic soap, right? Like, and if they had just said what they wanted to say from the beginning, we wouldn't have this problem.
I had a different comparison in mind.
What?
Come and knock on our door. We've been waiting for you. Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company, too.
I never watched Three's Company.
The premise of literally every episode of Three's Company is someone overhears someone saying something and they think that someone's having a sexual affair of some sort that they shouldn't be having. And so all the other characters freak out and they're like, oh my god! And then it blows up to large proportions until it all becomes clear in the end.
See, this is why communication is key and you shouldn't eavesdrop on people. And any other number of things you could say to just avoid all this.
But you gotta do it when you're in a 70s sex comedy on ABC or whatever.
Of course.
Was it on ABC? I don't know. I know it was originally a British sitcom that got Americanized. That's all I know.
Let me guess, it wasn't as good.
I've never seen the British version.
Oh. Well, finally, all that aside, after we get through all this ridiculousness, Kenny is able to reveal that things recently have been tense between Norman and Caroline because Norman has been neglecting Caroline and spending all of his free time at the Pokemon Center, and that the mere mention of Beautifly recently has sent Caroline into a rage. So clearly, we can all put the pieces together and know what's going on.
Norman is having an affair with a Beautifly at the Pokemon Center.
Duh. It's so obvious. Back at Team Rocket, Meow thinks that it would be a capital idea to give Giovanni the slack-off line so that, in his boss fantasy, Vigoroth can wake Giovanni up by breaking his back in half. And that he could be happy about his now broken back by looking at Slack Off and Slacking and being like, wow, they're so cute.
These boss fantasies are really redundant. Like, it's just the same thing over and over again.
Give us Giovanni in a Speedo. Come on.
Have us Giovanni wrestling the Vigoroth in the Speedo.
Oh my god. That would have been such the better boss fantasy, wouldn't it? And you know what? They should have made it, like, more suggestive. Of all the episodes when you're dealing with the freaking affair, come on, we can't have, like, a sexy Giovanni boss fantasy? Please. Mm. Anyway, so Ash finally wanders up in the greenhouse and he's like, oh, hey, guys, there you are. And he reports that Joy was, quote, helping Norman with one of his Pokemon. So this is shocking news to the others, who apparently take this as some kind of euphemism or something. Ash remains clueless.
Kenny says, I knew it.
Oh my god! It was perfect.
That was when we ripped the Band-Aid off, and now it's we're not using euphemisms anymore. We're done. It's
I think this might have been the most favorite part of the episode for me, because he's like, helping with his Pokemon, and all the other ones are like, oh my god.
They have to get to the Pokemon Center immediately.
Like, okay, I just have to ask, what were Kenny and them envisioning? Were they literally envisioning Ash, like, walking in on Joy giving Norman, like, a handy? Like, what were they thinking?
Probably. Oh my god. Ash wouldn't know what he was looking at.
Okay, fair. Fair. Ash is clueless. He is.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Speaking of clueless, trainers.
Oh my god. I'm clueless. Me. It's me.
Which one of these Pokemon is the best choice to battle Combusken?
God.
Nuzleaf, Togetic, or Flareon?
What the fuck? What? Togetic.
If you said Togetic, you're right. All right, moving on.
Great.
That's enough of that.
Back to the good stuff. Ash is like, I don't know what's going on, but the others are like, we gotta go now to the Pokemon Center and stop this tomfoolery before it can go any farther.
I think it's already gone pretty far, you guys. I don't think there's anything you can do. You can't turn back time.
That's true. So they run over to the Pokemon Center to confront Norman and catch him in the act. So they arrive, and Brock...
Norman is still leaning over the counter, and he and Joy are still giggling like schoolgirls.
I know, it's egregious.
How long have they been doing this? Oh my god.
Constantly, they're addicted. So Brock, in one of his better moments, I will say, puts on his very deep, concerned, fatherly voice in an attempt to scold Norman for forsaking his marriage vows. Meanwhile, Caroline has arrived at the Pokemon Center as well. And this is where shit really pops off. She declares that she has packed a bag and she is leaving Norman's sorry ass. And this thick himbo, Norman, cannot get it together. He cannot piece it together. And he's like, oh, well, that's nice, honey. Where are you going? And she's like, I'll say it again, you wood for brains. I'm leaving anywhere but here because I hate you. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, let me help you with that.
The scenes are so good. I wrote down like all of the dialogue for this entire half of the episode. Because it's just so good.
You might have to give it to us. Do you want to say it? I don't have any quotes at this point.
Oh, okay. Norman. Dear, what's wrong? Where are you going with that suitcase? Caroline. I'm going anywhere but here. Norman. Caroline? Well, do you need any help with your luggage? Kenny. Listen up. She is leaving. Caroline. I just told you. Anywhere but here. Norman. Well, okay. I guess that means you'll be handling the kitchen detail, Kenny. Everyone. How can you be so incredibly dense?
He's such an idiot.
Brock. Not everyone can understand women. Kenny to Norman. What do I have to do? Draw you a map? Norman. Yeah, okay, that would be helpful.
He's so stupid. Does Norman, maybe he also is like a victim of the lead poisoned water system or something, because how can anyone be this dense? Also, I have to knock Caroline here for a second, because she, during this whole exchange, like, turns to the children, May and Max, and they're quite understandably concerned about this. They're literally witnessing the breakup of their parents' marriage in real time. And Caroline's walking out on the family, and she turns to them, like, apropos of nothing, and she's like, don't worry, children. I'll be fine on my own.
Okay, bye.
Why isn't she taking them with her?
They're on a journey.
But presumably, I know they're traveling, but, like, on the way back, she wouldn't say, like, you're coming to live with me. I'm not giving custody to this adulterous man.
How long has this been going on? And why is Caroline choosing this exact moment? I guess she's just fed up. I guess now that her children are here, she's like, I can't take this anymore. I can't take the lies. And she's, like, storming out. Like, she's completely lost control. I don't know.
She thinks that this is appropriate to do in the middle of a Pokemon Center in front of her kids.
God. I wish she had words for Nurse Joy. I would love that.
I know. She didn't confront her at all. She wasn't like, and you, Harpy.
I can't even look at you.
I know. I can't believe she didn't, like, turn her eyes to Joy and was like, how could you do this to my family or something?
Of course, the one who deserves the blame is Norman. But, you know.
I mean,
let's not let Joy off the hook.
No. I mean, they're both adults. I feel like Norman, for sure, for stepping out on his wife and kids. But Joy, who knows that he's a married man.
Not when he takes a wedding ring off before he walks in the Pokemon Center.
I mean, I feel like there's pictures of Caroline and Norman everywhere in this town. Anyway, she finally declares that she can't believe that Norman would do this on their anniversary of all the days. Of any day to cheat, why do you have to cheat on our anniversary day?
Maybe that's why she got pushed over the edge, and that's why she's like, I'm leaving right this moment.
Maybe. Maybe she's just more sensitive because it's a really special time.
Right.
And she's like, I can't believe it. Like, if you were going to cheat, that would be bad enough, but, like, you have to rub it in my face and, like, the sanctity of our marriage's face that you're, like, cheating on this day. Like, this is horrible.
Did you notice the weird dialogue when May said, I forgot today's your wedding anniversary, and Caroline snaps, I didn't.
I know. Like, how are you expecting your kids to remember this stuff?
Caroline is just pissed.
Yeah, Caroline is, she's really not like mother right now, right? She's just like vulnerable woman.
She's woman. Scorned woman.
Yes, totally different. So finally, Norman has like a brain synapse fire for the first time in this whole interaction. He's like, oh, I see what's happening here. This is all a misunderstanding. Ha ha ha.
I love how he laughs and May's like, this isn't funny. Oh my God.
I know. Both the kids are like, I can't believe you're making light of this. You're so horrible.
Max is about to cry.
I know. Poor Max. Like, his dad is his hero. He's so visibly, like, the way they animated him too is like he's got the bags, like red bags under his eyes. Like, he's so full of emotion. Like, he's gonna cry. He can't believe that his dad would be so horrendous and do this to his mom. And the other thing I just want to point out is that Max understands exactly what's happening here.
Yes, of course.
He's like a small child and he's like, you're cheating on mom.
It's outright stated at this point. It's not.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he doesn't want to believe it. And May is furious because she can't believe that Norman's making light of this whole situation when their mother is so clearly distraught. But Norman's like, no, I am taking this seriously. I'm going to straighten all this stuff out. Guys, come with me, right? So he takes everyone and goes to the greenhouse. But they kind of are interrupted from whatever he was going to, like, show them because Ash is currently being attacked by Team Rocket. And he's on the ground because he just, like, got thrown out of the greenhouse by an explosion. Okay.
I love how the explosion just randomly happens and James says, I don't know what that was, but I'll take credit for it.
I know, they don't even know. I was going to ask you, I was like, did I miss something? But apparently, no, okay.
Are we to assume it was what we're about to discover and they accidentally hit it?
No, because that's later.
Okay.
Doesn't that happen a little bit later?
Okay. Maybe there's multiple devices. I don't know.
I guess he got hit by some kind of Pokemon attack or whatever. But anyway, Ash is like in a smoking heap on the ground and Norman runs up and he's like, oh my God, Ash, are you okay? And Ash is like, sure, I'm all right. Then he becomes enraged because at this point, Team Rocket blows up this strange contraption. It's like a bunch of tubes on the ground. And he becomes like a wild man. And he attacks Team Rocket and blasts them off. Goodbye. And Norman falls to his knees and he's devastated. He's like, no, my firework display machine. And everybody's like, what? What? But this is when Joy runs up and she's like, oh gosh, good golly gee, don't worry guys, because this firework machine might be broken, but I am a licensed pyrotechnician.
Okay.
And I can handle this. The way I literally said what out loud when I was watching this episode, because I completely forgot about that.
What do you think was going on?
I mean, I knew that they... I had remembered the detail that they were collaborating because of this surprise that he wanted to do for Caroline, but I completely forgot it was fireworks.
Oh, you forgot what it was. Okay.
Yes. So, pyrotechnician Joy is here, and she makes an entirely new firework display machine. And when she sets it off later that night, they're all watching, and all of the fireworks come up, and they make the shape of a beautifly.
I was hoping Mr. Big was going to come out of the greenhouse and was like, it worked all according to plan.
I know. It would have been great if we had a cameo by him.
Norman was having an affair with Mr. Big the whole time.
Don't let Carrie find out.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Carrie, Caroline connection? Anyway, Caroline is so delighted that it's beautifly themed, and Norman is very embarrassed by this, so he runs off. But Caroline explains to them that the whole beautifly motif is a reference to their proposal day because Norman and his really bad sideburns proposed to her in a field full of beautifly.
That's sweet.
Aw, very sweet. Yeah, so we finally cleared that up and Norman and Caroline renew their passion with each other. And yeah.
What a wild day.
This was a wild day.
To publicly announce that your family, your children, your husband and his mistress, that you are leaving him and going in any direction. Dude, being turned around to an anniversary fireworks display within 2 hours.
I mean, hell hath no fury, right? I think Caroline, she assumed a lot of stuff, but I feel like her actions were somewhat justified based on the circumstances. I don't know. Any other thoughts on that? Because
no, it's just wild that they did this episode at all.
I mean, part of me was going to sit there and say, like, oh, I feel like Norman owes Caroline an apology. But then I thought about it and I was like, well, he never really did anything wrong.
What a weird episode. How completely different.
I know. I can't believe it. Of all the episodes they could have done to reintroduce us to, like, Norman and Caroline and be like a return to Petalburg type of thing. It's like, okay, let's make it so that Caroline thinks Norman's having an affair.
Yeah, like I can't think of anything like this ever happening before or since.
Well, considering the fact that we don't really see anybody else's dad that's like connected to a main character.
The dads have already had affairs and left, okay.
It is kind of funny though that the one time we do see a dad character, like an important dad character, he's having an affair.
I still am not convinced they weren't not having an affair.
If anything, okay, you know what? Maybe I take back what I said about Norman not doing anything wrong. If anything, he potentially could have crossed over into emotional affair territory.
Yeah, how long do you have to lean over that counter and giggle about your fireworks display?
Yeah, honestly, what was going on? You know what? Maybe we need to reevaluate. Because he could have easily just gone to her like once or twice and said like, hey, Joy, I want to do an anniversary surprise for my wife on this day. Since you're a licensed pyrotechnician, can you put together something and I'll pay you X amount? You know, let me know what your fee is. And she'd be like, okay, Mr. Norman, I'll do that. And then he comes back to say, hey, just making sure everything's good for tonight.
No, he was there all hours of the day, every day, for who knows how long.
So maybe he's not so innocent.
It was a smokescreen. This was their plan in case they got caught.
Are you saying that they successfully gaslit everybody into thinking that they weren't having an affair, but they secretly are?
Everyone except for us. We figured it out.
Norman, you pig. Oh my gosh.
You know he's going to North Petalburg and fucking all those people.
Yeah, wait until he finds out about the throngs of women in North Petalburg that have, like, the fan club.
Oh, Norman. Oh. All right. Okay.
Okay, I just want to say one thing. You know, it's totally fine for men and women to talk to each other and have friendships and stuff.
That was flirting. That was a lot of flirting.
Yeah, I think if anything, it's a little bit of an emotional affair type of situation, because...
Like, what was their dialogue? What were they saying to each other? I want to know.
Does it matter what they were saying when all we needed to see was the hand on the hip? Oof. We had the hand on the hip.
All right. Wow. Let's flip the... I don't even know what kind of coin. Emotional affair coin.
Oh, okay.
You're going first.
Why did you just put your camera into your crotch?
Because I flipped the coin over the laptop, and I had to put the laptop down to grab the coin that went on the other side of the desk.
Who was it? Who's
first? You're going first.
Me? Great. I have two quotes.
I have so many quotes. Don't worry.
I know. This episode was so freaking rife with quotes.
I basically transcribed the episode. Okay.
I love that. Okay, so my first quote, my official quote, I guess. When Meowth is having his boss fantasy, and he's mimicking Giovanni, as Giovanni is going through this scenario, and he says, "Bumma, I just can't wake up. Isn't there anything to look forward to in my sad life?" Oh my god. I love how this is how Meowth thinks of Giovanni now. Instead of like the blatant just like hero worship that he used to have, now he pictures Giovanni as like this sad, pathetic man.
Probably more accurate.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, my second quote is really short, but I don't know if you caught this, but it's at the end after Team Rocket blows up
the contraption.
Oh my god, and Caroline. So Norman spirals into like seeing red. He's like absolutely enraged. And he, like, attacks Team Rocket and basically kills them. And Caroline is in the background going, "Oh, good lord."
I can't believe they did that.
I know.
Was that an accident? Did they not realize? What happened there?
The actress just, she was like, "Good lord."
For those of you who don't live in America.
Right?
For some reason, little comments like that are a big deal. When it comes to children's television, did you ever get in trouble for saying, "Oh my God," as a kid?
Yes.
Yeah, I did too. Like, not serious trouble, but like, there's definitely a weird religious fervor around here where like the weirdest things get you in trouble. So it's very surprising Caroline could say "Good Lord" on children's television in the episode about an extramarital affair.
Yeah, there's plenty of people, like, obviously. We're in the southern part of the U.S., so of course, if any place is going to have people that actually care about this kind of thing, it's going to be here. So, like, Austin and my experience growing up as kids, I don't know, it's weird for me because there were periods in my life where, like, people around me went through, like, religious, like, ups and downs. Like, at some points in my life, it's like, oh, the adults around me was like, oh, they cared about religion. So, like, if I said, like, "Oh, my God," they'd be like, "Oh, don't you take the name of the Lord in vain."
I think it's a child thing.
I guess if you say, "Oh, my God," as a kid, it's basically like saying a swear.
Yeah.
Whatever. I say way worse now.
Fuck me. Yes, I do. All right.
Why didn't they say something like, "Oh, my," or "My stars," or something completely tame and innocuous? Oh, well, that was interesting. Okay. My MVP is, I am going to give it to Kenny the Broom Boy.
Yay!
For being a real one. He's been such a mainstay character. He's a constant across all these episodes. And he's just a pro at dealing with people's emotions and being that kind of buoy in all of this emotional turmoil that we're dealing with.
I feel like I play the Kenny role oftentimes in real world situations. I feel like I'm the one who's like, "Oh shit, what do I do? I don't know what to do. Oh boy. Yeah. And then I get in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Gotta shield people from the consequences. Kenny's a real one. My LVP is clearly going to be Norman because he's a ridiculous person that cannot keep his wandering eyes to himself. And just the fact that he's so dumb, he is so dumb. And I feel like he's not even good looking enough to make up for the fact that he is so dumb.
You hate his hair. That's what it is. You hate his hair. I don't think his outfit's terrible.
It's a bad outfit.
For the early 2000s?
Well, maybe not. Anyway.
I'm looking at pictures of him now. What do you think of his redesign? Do you think it's better?
Can you send me a picture?
He unzips the jacket.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else.
Oh. Well, at the Pokemon Center, he unzips all sorts
Whoa.
Of things.
Whoa. Okay, that's his original. I'm looking at his original art.
Yeah, we're going to do a comparison.
Look at that. He's got the receding hairline on both sides. He's got the bangs that are like combed down in the front and those fucking sideburns.
Oh, I think his second outfit's even worse. He's got sandals.
Oh my god. Okay, hold on. Oh, it's small. Oh no, wait, I can zoom in kind of.
He's wearing like athletic pants. Like,
ew, and the sandals?
Yeah, he has no fashion sense with that one. No.
And the popped collar?
He always had the popped collar.
Yeah, but the popped collar doesn't seem as high in the first one. Look at it. Look at the first collar and then look at the second one. The second one's way worse. Why is his neck so much longer?
Yeah, those bangs are pretty bad too.
It's bad all around. It's just bad. No, there's no redeeming him. It's just bad. Sorry.
Okay. I guess it's my turn. I have so many quotes. I'm going to go with Team Rocket's little pop culture reference they had. Meowth. Who'd think we'd be dumb enough to attack the same place twice? Jesse. You're right. Nobody thinks we're that dumb. Meowth. Those two are dumb and dumber, so what does that make me? Jesse and James say, I don't know, dumber-er. Meowth says, no, it would be dumbest, not dumber-er, dumbest. Jesse says, okay, Meowth, if you say so. Meowth says, okay, now that we got that settled, I'm dumbest.
You said it, not me, Meowth.
You know that's referencing, right?
Dumb and Dumber?
The sequel, the 2003 prequel movie, Dumb and Dumber-er.
Dumb and Dumberer. I actually don't think I ever saw the sequel.
Oh, I haven't seen any of them.
You never saw the original Dumb and Dumber?
Nope.
You want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Nope, 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 nope. Nope.
I'll spare you.
All right, here's another long exchange. This is when Ash comes and alerts that he saw Joy giving Norman a handy. May says, what are we going to do, guys? Brock says, I know. Yep, this is a job for the original Love Doctor, I'm afraid. That's me. Later. Meow! As he leaves.
Eric Stewart, I love you so much.
He's having fun. May says, this could be bad. Max says, it's fine. Brock knows what he's doing. And then Kenny, the wise one, says, but he calls himself the Love Doctor.
Kenny is the realest person. Why can we not have him as a staple twerp?
Oh my god, this episode's so good.
Oh my god, what was that freaking Mike Myers movie? Was it The Love Doctor?
The Love Guru.
The Love Guru, never mind. Never mind.
My LVP is Nurse Joy for having such bad taste in men that she's going with Norman and his horrible bangs and sideburns and his awful outfit. Especially if it's Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire Norman. That outfit's unforgivable.
What does that say about Caroline?
I don't know. Caroline almost got my LVP. I don't know.
I mean, aside from the fact that Caroline has, like, Whoville hair, I mean, she's semi-fashionable and she's a decent lady. I mean,
We don't know much about her.
Yeah, we don't really see a backstory. But I will say, based on their outfits, like, from the past, they both had questionable fashion sense and...
Yeah, I need to see that picture of their 70s outfits again.
You know, maybe the problem was that she was blinded in the eyes by, like, beautifly pollen and thought that Norman looked different than he actually looks.
Okay, let's see. He had longer hair. He had, like, a mullet situation.
Yeah!
Ew, look at her outfit. That's awful.
Okay, but this jacket looks better. Whatever happened to that jacket?
He's also wearing jeans.
Better than whatever he's wearing now.
Well, she's dressed like a little girl or like a doll or something.
Yeah, I don't like the frilly pink.
Yeah, it's very childish.
Dress. Ugh, okay. Maybe Caroline should get the LVP for her questionable taste. Should I give it to
Caroline or...
Give it to Caroline and Joy for both of their tastes.
Both of them for sleeping with Norman. That's a bad man to be sleeping with.
Of anybody that they could have, it had to be Norman.
Ugh. My MVP. Ooh, that's a hard one. I kind of want to give it to Ash because he was a fun... I don't know what you would call him. Ignoramus this episode?
Ignoramus. Oh, Ash.
I also want to kind of give it to Brock, the Love Doctor. I don't know. Who do you think it should be?
I don't know. On the one hand, I'm like, ignorance is bliss. Like, Ash lives a charmed life because he really doesn't have to face reality. But, like... Brock for his willingness to stand up to a grown man and defend the marriage vow. I don't know. Like,
it's hard. It's a hard one.
It is hard.
Oh, man. My MVP is going to be Norman for getting laid.
Gross.
Just kidding. I'm going to give it to Mr. Big for his...
Oh, God.
Pokemon fireworks business doing so well that Nurse Joy is ordering his products now.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm glad he got the recognition he deserved.
I remember you, Mr. Big.
Oh my gosh. Well, what an episode. I think I had more fun with that episode than I've had in a while. So any final thoughts, Austin?
What more is there to say?
Nothing. That perfection. 10 out of 10, no notes.
Just a heads up, we're going to take at least one skip week next weekend. Probably not more than one, but we'll let you know on social media if it is. But when we get back, we have more Norman to look forward to. So don't put your panties back on just quite yet.
Great. Lay it on me.
Balance of power and a six-pack attack.
Does Norman
take his shirt off?
Hit people in the face with his abs? Like,
we'll find out.
Is that what he does to women he's trying to hit on? Does he, like, rip his shirt off?
Ugh.
We'll find out. Stay tuned. All right. Well, we hope you guys loved those episodes just as much as we did this week. Those were really fun. If you want to let us know your thoughts, we'd love to hear them. Please reach out to us. We have our Gmail account, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. You can always reach out to us on our social media as well. We have a Blue Sky and an Instagram account, the same handle for both, @outofthedryingpan. We also have our Patreon. If you like this podcast and would like to support us, we'd really appreciate it. You can find the link to that in the description. We have all kinds of cool bonus content, so go ahead, check it out. And as always, we'd like to say thank you guys so much for joining us again this week and listening. It means a lot to us as the journey continues.